The Two Brews in the Studio Show. The podcast.
One, two, three, four.
Salute to the creative genius that you are. You're now tuned in to the Two Bros in the Studio Show.
A show made by creatives for you creatives.
That's right. I'm your co-host, Nevada Taylor, a.k.a. Hulk Brogan.
And my name is Tabari Fingal, a.k.a. the Brilliant Professor.
Yep. Hey, creatives.
Yeah.
New creatives.
Where you at?
Well, they're probably on Instagram.
Hopefully so.
Yeah. So if you're on Instagram, do yourself a huge favor right now, right?
What is it?
Follow us on Instagram.
Oh.
At Two Bro Show.
At Two Bro Show.
That's right. Same thing with Twitter, but follow us on Instagram.
At Two Bro Show.
At Two Bro Show.
It is.
Then scurry on over to SoundCloud.
Please do.
At Two Bro Show.
At Two Bro Show.
Follow us there. And more important, hop on over to YouTube.
Please do.
That's right. And hop into the little search engine on YouTube.
Yep.
And type in the Two Bros in the Studio Show.
Yes.
And then when you do that, you're going to see two handsome faces going to pop up on your screen. And then there's going to be a subscribe button somewhere along the line on that screen of yours. And when you see the subscribe button, make sure you smash that. That's right. And when you do that, check out the content. Please be the leader that you are, that your mama and daddy raised you.
That is.
Or maybe your grandparents might have raised you to be a leader. That's right. Yo, set trends. Drop a comment in the comment section, right? Maybe leave some comments about something that you probably want us to talk about in our next coming episodes. Or maybe you have a comment to say something about what we were talking about. Add in on to the discussion, because I'm pretty sure that there's, you know, somebody that's sitting to the right or the left of you that ain't that smart, but they probably asking or need to ask
some the same questions.
Or need some help about the topic that we're talking about. Be that person to help him out. Help out your neighbor.
Yeah, please do.
That's right. And let's keep this conversation going, because there's other creatives out there that probably like to, you know, just stay engaged and, you know, maybe share some ideas about the topic that we're talking about.
Yep. All right. Sharing is caring.
It is. Sharing is caring, and it's free.
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 All the way free.
That's right.
Yep.
Yep. So, Professor, man.
Yeah.
What's going on in your hood, bro?
Nothing at all, man. It's been a lot of music passing by my desk these days, man. And you know what?
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff is fire. A lot of that stuff is fire. Shout out my man Jay Twiz.
Yeah.
With his record Hibachi. If y'all ain't on it, go follow my man Jay Twiz, man.
Yeah, I seen that popped up on my timeline. Yeah. And I was like, go on, that is fire. I mean straight from the concept all the way down to how he pinned it.
All the way, man.
The execution was on point, man.
My man pin game is on 100 million.
Yeah,
right now.
I mean, Jay always had a cold pin game. So look, creators, if you're not following this guy, get hip like right now.
Yeah. Yep.
At Jay Twiz.
Is it at Jay Twiz? I'm gonna make sure. It's
two Z's.
Yeah, J T I W yeah.
Z Z.
T wait, no. Let's say that again.
What's that?
J T W I Z Z.
W I Z Z. That's right. Follow Jay Twiz, man. He got some fire music, man. Dope vocalists out here. And also, if you have any if you have any other
it's actually at the real Jay Twiz.
Oh, it's at the real Jay Twiz.
At the real Jay Twiz.
Jay Twiz, my bad. It's at the real Jay Twiz.
We got him. At the real Jay Twiz. Yep.
Yep.
Follow
hey, man, you know what? Why we shouting out, man? I know we could do a little shout out roll call, right?
Oh, roll call.
Yep, bro call.
We call it the bro call.
That's right. Yeah. So, there's some folks, man, that's really been holding us down, like Bang That.
Yeah.
Show. Shout
that
out to
radio
them.
Radio Bang That.
Radio. That's right, Empress. also, man, you know, Cliffs and Caves. They always there.
Always.
My man Dang Durl.
Always. Leader of the Two Bros and Studio Show.
With his $1 million bill. He flossing on the gram with his $1 million bill. I seen that. That was hilarious. That was hilarious, man. Also Eric Wiseman.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. He's definitely been, you know, liking and commenting.
That's what's up.
Yup. Charlie and Sleazy.
What's up?
Funny duo right there. So look. With this roll call or the bro call.
The bro call.
Yo, follow these folks.
Yeah, please do.
Definitely.
They're engaging. Their content is great.
Tax-free stiff. Love this guy.
Yeah.
It's at TAXXFREESTIFF.
You know, we wouldn't have to spell all these things out if you would just join the conversation on Instagram like we've been telling you to do.
Absolutely, man. And you know what? More important, when you see other people that are in, you know, that are on these postings mm-hmm. and they're commenting, follow them.
Follow them. Please
follow
do.
Follow them. Don't you want to know who you're speaking to?
It's about keeping the nation of creatives together.
Absolutely, because we're all one.
Now, speaking of bro calls, let's go over to SoundCloud and do a bro call over there, because we've been getting a lot of love from the podcasting community over in SoundCloud. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So shout out to What She Said Podcast. Shout out to Pretty Lit
yep.
Podcast. Shout out to friggin' Crystal Clear.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Crazy Town Podcast. Yo, we really appreciate your follows and sharing our material. You know what I'm saying? We definitely follow you back and we share your material. There's some amazing podcasts out there, and not just the Two Bros in the Studio show, but we want to make sure that you guys know that we support you guys as we see that you're supporting us. Shout out to Woke with Kids Podcast, because
yeah.
Egos and Options Podcast. You know, there's a lot of folks that have been really showing love, and we want to make sure we show it right back. Boom.
Absolutely. So, Professor, man, I had an interesting thing that happened not too long ago, right?
All
right. And it was my wife and I. We was going out to dinner. Actually, we would meet up with Charles Mack mm-hmm. and his lady.
I got to stop by his
detail shop.
Detail shop. I'm in need.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Shout out Charles Mack. Shout out Double Cross.
Yep. So, on our way into the Gaylord, my normal routine is that I opened up the doors for folks, right?
Right.
And my wife and I was approaching the door, and there was another couple that was kind of like approaching the door at the same time with us. So I opened up the door for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
She went through, and she smiled, was like, "Thank you." And he walked through and mugged me.
What?
He gave me a grill. He grilled me. And I'm like, what was that about? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, of course, you know, followed right behind that, you know, my wife, you know, walked through the door. And so we're walking and talking. I told Carl, I was like, "Yo, like, did
That's
you see
unsettling.
Dude, like, mug me?"
That's so unsettling. I don't know if Tabari would have been able to let that one ride.
What could I say?
Yeah, you're right.
I was going to be like, "Yo, bro, fuck you. You grilling me for it."
I mean, you ain't got to say nothing. As a dude, you ain't got to say nothing. I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying? But
all right, so
why you mug me, though?
Exactly. But when he tell you why I think that he mugged me?
He's insecure.
Very insecure. All right. So, number one, bro.
Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Number one. Exactly. Number one, you should open the door for your lady.
Period.
Period. Or any women that is around you.
Yeah, don't get
high. Your girlfriend, your wife, your grandmother, auntie, cousin. Man, even if it's a female that you don't even know. I open up the doors for folks.
Yeah.
Even females, for real. A lot of females out there.
I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to say 75% of females out there, when you open up the door for them, they do not say thank you.
Let me tell you something.
I don't care about that. You know what I'm saying?
I care. That's the part I care about. I care. That shit irks me. That shit irks me because it's those same females that be on Facebook that be talking about chivalry is dead. Why can't we get chivalry back? I want flowers on Valentine's Day. Bitch, go sit at the nail salon by yourself. Go to the restaurant, take yourself out. Because when dudes are doing that, you mug. Okay, me holding the door for you is not me hitting on you. I'm just trying to be polite and move on with my life. A thank you is not too much to ask. An acknowledgement with a head nod. Eye contact.
Amen.
Give me dap.
See,
give me pound.
But see, this is all right. See, Tabari, now the reason why I don't trip off of that is because I don't, I'm not looking for that up front. I don't expect that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's bad.
It's not like you expect too much out of female.
Yeah, no, you know, the thing is, it's not that... to me, it's a two-way street. I don't think it's too much to ask for a female to say, why can't I have a man, not necessarily who's my man or anything, but why can't men act in a particular way that is beneficial for me as a woman? I get that. That makes sense.
Sure.
But if it makes sense on one side of the street, it should make sense on the other. And a thank you or an acknowledgement of some sort of my existence... it's not too much to ask.
Yeah, I got you. You know what? I don't.
You know what? You know what I find though. You know what I find though.
What's that?
When it's an older woman, you never, ever, 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 ever have to wonder if she's going to at least acknowledge that little small gesture
and say thank you. Right?
She always does. Whether she says thank you, whether she just looks in your direction and smiles, whether she just whatever. There's always some acknowledgement of, hey, I recognize that you didn't have to do this. You did it, and I appreciate it.
But I found out it's not just the older women; it's the mature women.
Oh,
you
see
what I'm saying?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's the mature women, and that's why. I don't trip off of it, because the ones that don't, give you the acknowledgement or anything like that, well, maybe they wasn't raised up properly. You know, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt
according
to their situation.
I can see that. And the reason I still hold the door, no matter what happens, no matter how I feel about it, is because I believe in putting out positive energy, because that's the same energy you're going to get back. At the end of the day,
absolutely.
A few years ago, my sister was driving my car and got into an accident on the road, on highway, right? Like, four people stopped their cars immediately in the rain. It was pouring cats and dogs rain. And they all got out their cars. They all helped her to get back on the road. The accident wasn't so bad that it, like, really damaged my car or anything.
Right.
But the fact that I wasn't there, I didn't even know it happened, but strangers on the street stopped and put themselves out of their way to make sure that she was safe to get back on the road really made me feel like, okay, putting out some positive energy, getting some back.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah, I'll take that. Meanwhile, though... you got dudes mugging you for just being polite. Now,
all of me wanted to say, Slim, you should have opened up the door for your lady anyway.
Yeah, don't be mad at me.
And so, But check this out.
All right.
So after that, I was like, well, I asked my wife, I said, so what type of conversation do you think they'll probably have at the end of the night? Do you think she's going to hold a grudge against that? Against him? Would that be a deal breaker for tonight? Say if this was our first date and he never opened up the door for me and another gentleman had to open up the door for him, he going to get the panties for tonight?
Nah, he not. Look, at the end of the
night. So I'm like, yo, that's why I wasn't tripping. I started thinking about this. I'm like, you know what? He might have took a massive L by me opening up the door for this lady.
Maybe. I mean, that's like you said, that's supposing if she's mature enough to even see that as a positive or a negative thing.
Or she could be like, you know what? Maybe I should require more for him.
Hopefully.
And some of the little things. And these are the little things, bro. These are the little
things.
It's
important. I know a lot of my wife's girlfriends would get mad at their husbands and their boyfriends because they're like, why don't you see Tabari over there? He's holding doors and he's pulling out chairs and he's holding coats. And why don't you do that? I got that a lot. My dude gets that a lot. But man, I'm okay with that because at the end of the day, that's just me. That's what I'm going to do, especially for her. She shouldn't have to ask or beg for it. That's how I should do. Cool. And there's some things she does for me that I don't have to ask for. It's an awesome thing. But
I mean, bro,
I've never had a dude mean mug me for that, though. I was going to keep it 100.
But for real?
That's a whole new thing.
I never opened up a door for a woman while her man or her male companion was there.
I've done it plenty of times, but it wasn't off the strength. It was just like you described. I'm coming to the door. I got there first. Right. I opened the door. They both came through. They all, usually, honestly, both of them usually say thank you.
Right.
I've never had a dude meme mug because it wasn't off some old, yo, what's up, lady? How you doing? Forget you, dude. It was never off that. That's just so weird. That's just so weird, man. Anyway.
It's crazy. And so you know what, though? Like, us men, You know, we need to step up even on the most small things.
Yeah, even when you don't want to.
Man, absolutely. I mean, just make it a habit. Just make it a routine.
Yeah.
You know what? I ain't even going to just say us, man. How about just say us
people.
You know what?
Because I'm sorry. If you a want thank to change you is not the, too much to ask.
No, it's not, man. If you want to change the world and you want to actually try to implement some things in your life to be, to take more selfless actions,
man.
Not selfish actions. Mm-hmm. Just start with doing something simple like say hello and greet just about everybody that comes in 10 feet of contact with you. Or when you make eye contact with that person, instead of making eye contact with that person and look down at the ground, just say, no. Hello, how you doing? Good morning.
Good
afternoon.
Yep.
How are you?
Yep.
Or just open up the freaking door. Like,
now,
and consistently do that.
Now, I got to talk to the dudes right quick because some of the dudes, y'all a little sensitive.
All right. Yeah, there's a lot of sensitive jokers out there.
So let's just keep it real. Rule number one, just because she smile at you don't mean she want the dick. Sorry.
True.
Because no, there's too many women out here getting accosted, getting abused, and getting killed off some sensitive dude who couldn't take, oh, you didn't mean that you wanted to go out with me just because you're standing here? No.
That's true.
Why does standing here mean that I want to go out with you? Like,
true.
Oh yeah, pull out my gun. No, you a sensitive ass nigga. You need to go sit down. That's the truth. Okay, so calm down.
The thirst is real.
The thirst must be real, my nigga. And there's Gatorade for that bullshit. You go over there and do that. Don't come on. All right. Let's just acknowledge what it is. Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
And lastly, fellas, you know, sometimes. You know, just not expecting certain things, you know,
it's
probably a good thing. You should probably just understand that, you know, being polite and being nice should be enough.
Stop right there. I mean, hold no expectations on how you want that person or how you want that person to treat you or react to, you know, whatever good deed that you're doing. You know what I'm saying? I think that's where people kind of like get into this little crazy space where, you know, they hold humans to such a high regard, or they expect so much from us humans. Keep in mind, we're human, and you just don't know what that person might be going through for that day. And that's why I say I gave them a benefit of the doubt, or gave him a benefit of the doubt, because I have no idea what the hell they going through. Same thing with the women, you know, when they don't say thank you or whatever. Do I want to slam the door right behind them right after they halfway in the door now? Damn right. It plays in my mind quite a few times.
I say you're welcome.
Or do I want to trip them up as they're going through there? Yeah, I thought about that many times. You know what I'm saying? If I have an apple in my hand and I'm eating it, and she'll say thank you, do I want to throw it at her?
Just
bam, right in the back
like
of her head.
Just like Miss Doubtfire, we bust her in the back, bust dude in the back of the head with an orange.
With an orange, absolutely, dog. Yes, I do want to wind that thing up and pitch an apple at her like I'm Nolan Ryan. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I've thought about that. It, you know, but what is that going to get me?
Look, and no matter what I want or what I would like, at the end of the day, I'm going to hold the door. I'm going to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to see somebody coming through the door.
And you might see
male
that,
or female.
You might see that person again. But you know what? This is what I've done. And this quite a few times. Is that if they don't say thank you, I just say, you're welcome.
That's what I do. I just go, you're welcome. And I say it nice and loud. And I go, you're welcome. And then they always go, oh I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. Now, if they respond like that, it's all good, because you might have just been walking. You might not even realized it. That's cool.
For sure.
But I've actually had some people, I go, you're welcome, and they go, oh, okay. Whole time.
What?
Will never happen again. That's what I tell myself, but I still hold the door, because that's who I am.
Bitch, the next time I see you, I'm slamming the door in your face. Matter of fact, I'm going to sit at this door. I know that we both come in at the same time, so I'm going to sit and wait at this door, and I'm going to open up the door so you can walk on through, and bam, right in your face.
Walk on by.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry.
No, you good.
But you know what, guys? No, I wouldn't really do that.
No, you're not really going to do that, because that's just not who you are.
To do that.
Yeah.
You know, the petty Eddie and me were like, you know what? We got to be at work at 7:30, and normally we come through the door at 7:15, and she walks through the door or something like around there. We both walk through the door at the same time, so I'm going to camp out here at 7:05. So when she comes to the door, I'm going to open up the door, and bam, right in her face. I will probably laugh at that over centuries, but you know what? I think I'll probably end up going to jail. There's or one lady like at that. The job. Wouldn't that be assault and battery?
That would be, yes. There's one lady at my job. She's a white lady, just so we're clear. And every time she sees me, I swear to God, she looks scared. She Damn. Just looks, she looks terrified. Like she must have had a bad experience somewhere along the way, or she's just amazingly bigoted, because she looks genuinely scared. But I try to be polite. Like never says thank you. She never acknowledges anything. But the fact
is, is it just you? Or
No.
Is it her interactions with everybody else?
I'm on a campus. Right.
Okay.
So it's just a lot going on at all times. All
right.
But every time I've seen her, she's always been by herself. She's never been like on the phone casually, or just she's always just been walking. She just looks super socially awkward.
Yeah.
I don't hold no ill will. In my mind, it's like, okay, whatever. You know, you good. You good. You're all right. You're
but right. I'm not holding the door open for you.
No, I still hold the door. I just hold the door. Because at the end of the day, if I could change her mind, if she is bigoted, I'd like to be able to change her mind. Hey, look, not every guy who is of my hue is a monster. So maybe just calm down a little bit. If she's just generally, you know, socially awkward, hey, it's okay to be socially awkward. No, not everybody's gonna get on your case about it.
That is true.
I can deal with that.
That is true.
You know what I can't deal with is, oh, so what, you held the door? Oh, nah. Mm-mm. New.
Bam, right in the face.
Right in the, bam, right in the kisser.
Right.
Nah, we're not gonna do that.
So look, check this out. I mean, we're saying all we're going through all these little scenarios, and you know, us men, you know, being I don't know, I guess you'll say us men continuously having chivalry for, you know, the females out there, right? And we're just coming off of International Women's Day,
mm-hmm.
right? So you know, this played in my mind. It's like, yo, like, females done got another day out of the year. Well, not just females, mothers got another day out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They snuck one in right here. You know what I'm saying? With the International Women's Day. I still need to do research and figure out how the hell this happened. But I do understand that 365 days out of the year, there is a day for something. You know, here's so like what today I like. Is a day for something.
Here's and then what they I like.
Had Mother's Day as well. So that's 2 days.
Here's
bro.
What I like about International Women's Day, though. Here's what I like about it. Because it acknowledges not just the women in our immediate vicinity, but the women who are not in our immediate vicinity. When I say immediate vicinity, I mean our culture. Like in our American culture, you know, you can sum up in groups, you know, people do we know what a Pakistani woman goes through every day? No, not really. Not really. No, we don't really have a concept of that. Do we know what a woman who's in the Sudan goes through every day?
No.
But this is a day to think about that. To consider that, you know, a woman might be, you know, getting her genitals mutilated.
Yeah.
Because that's a part of the culture, but maybe she doesn't want that. But she has no escape from it.
Ugh.
That's something to consider on an International Women's Day, especially for us. I mean, as far as Americans are concerned, let's just be real. We're kind of the top of the heap. So at the end of the day.
Top of the heap. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is.
Like, we don't go through third world issues?
No, not really. No, we don't. I mean, our biggest issue is, damn, the AC's out of my car.
Very true.
I mean, there's deeper issues, but as an American culture, especially as the perception of our American culture,
yeah, you know,
we're considered the land of milk and honey for some reason.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue, you know, that I see that just pop up
amazing
all the
marketing because I think the case at all.
Females, they're battling for wages, equal wages,
equal wages. But again, while American females are battling for equal wages, there's some females who ain't getting no wages. This is just the culture. You're gonna do it because. Either do this or get stoned. I mean, that exists.
Damn. That or get stoned.
Let's just keep it real. Some women have to deal with that.
Man.
And so at the end of the day, that's what I appreciate. Now, again, I don't really know the background details on how International Women's Day got started, but I got to keep it real.
Right.
That's what I consider. I don't consider American women on International Women's Day, not because I don't, but because it's really international. It's the women who are outside of your purview who exist as well, and we should probably give them some sort of, you know.
Can we get International Man Day?
Do we, I guess, do we need that though? Like, I don't know that we need that. I can keep it real. Cause
all right, so look, I feel, man, like I feel Father's like Day is over, is being squeezed out, right? I'm tired of seeing
being squeezed right, out, but I
no, hold on. I'm lately on social media, I've been seeing that, you know, all these little postings, happy Father's Day to my mom. She done took care of, I mean, she done took the place of my father and my mom, and or happy Father's Day to me because I've been both the father and,
you know, I'll be honest with you. I've seen a lot of pushback from that.
And it should be more pushback.
I've seen I've seen the pushback from both men and women who are like, no. This is a man's day. Get out of the way. Yes, I understand you're a mother who had to be the father and everything, but you got a woman's day.
Yeah,
you got
respect, Mother's Day. Respect
back up and let a man have a little deference on this day.
Absolutely,
I've seen
that's
that.
What you have Mother's
I've seen that
day
a lot,
for.
Actually. I've seen that a lot more than just straight up like what you described, which I've seen a lot of in the past. Okay. But what I've seen, especially this last this couple Father's Day, it's been a lot of push. Like, don't give your mother no love on Father's Day. Even if she was your father and your mother because daddy wasn't there, I get that. But at the end of the day, I can't be mad at somebody who looks at their mom and says, you know, thank you, mom, for being both. But at the same time, you know, I'm a dad who's in his child's life. You're a dad who's in his child's life.
Absolutely.
I don't feel like on that day I should be marginalized because a woman had to do both. There's plenty of men who had to do both who don't get love on both days.
Super shout outs to them.
Yeah, super shout outs to them. But the truth is, that's what we should do. You know, being in our kids' lives and everything. And for the men out there who aren't, you're missing out. I mean, you're missing out on something wonderful. Watching my little 4-year-old daughter grow up is literally the most wonderful thing I've ever experienced.
Yo, I mean, it's priceless though, for real. You know what I'm saying? Having your child to jump in the bed with you at 3 o'clock at night while, you know, you and your wife trying to get it on. Sometimes it could be of an inconvenience,
Dog,
but you know what?
That happened the other night. That was hilarious. That was hilarious. We was on some old monkey stuff, and the door flew like open, and you had to do some acrobatics to get under the covers right quick.
Like you playing hide and go seek?
What?
Son, your mom and daddy is playing hide and go seek.
Crawl around on the ground.
You need to go
find my
seek your bed and hide up under them covers for another 5 hours. All right, we'll come tag you when it's time to wake up and eat breakfast.
That was hilarious. That was friggin' funny, man.
But doesn't seem like kids like they know when.
They just know
go when, down.
They just know, like, know when to bust what? Up the party.
Exactly. I think they really do. I think kids have great timing for that.
You know what?
Let's go into this break, because this whole episode is going to be about a little bit about everything. All right. So, creative, see you in a bit. Break.
What's up, y'all? This is your boy, Tabari Fingal, a.k.a. The Brilliant Professor, and I'm here to tell you what you can do to get your music featured here on the Two Bros in the Studio Show podcast. It's real easy, just a few steps. First, go to the Two Bros in the Studio Show YouTube and SoundCloud accounts at Two Bros Show, or you can search us on YouTube, or go to the IG account and click the link there to go straight to YouTube, and make sure you click that follow button. We want to see you following us, and we'll follow you back. Number two, send an email to twobrosshowinfo@gmail.com with your artist name, any social media handles you have, IG or Twitter, and make sure you send at least 3 clean versions of the music you want to showcase and anything you want us to know about the music specifically. Let us know so we can let everyone else in the network of creators know. Number three, if your music is selected, you'll receive an email confirmation response by one of the team members here at the Two Bros Show. You'll need to make sure that once you get that confirmation of what episodes you'll be on, you promote that episode with everything you got on all of your social media. We want to see it pumping out there. We need to get the word out that this show is here for you, made by creatives for creatives. And that's it. Make sure y'all keep in tune with what's going on in the Two Bros in the Studio Show Nation. And creatives, make sure that you keep creating. Welcome back to Two Bros in the Studio Show podcast. I'm your co-host, Tabari Fingal, a.k.a. The Brilliant Professor.
And I'm the Beta Taylor, a.k.a. Hawk Brogan, co-host.
In studio, we have with us not a damn body, because that's just how it worked out this week.
Absolutely nobody.
Nope, crickets.
But you know what? You got the two bros here.
Bow.
Yep.
That's all you need.
That's all you. We're your new best friends.
We're your new best friends.
That's right.
Somebody pass me a dish and a spoon. We're going to hypnotize everybody to make sure they listen.
I don't think anybody's listening. But hey, but look, check this out. We're going to go over our Instagram, man, because our Instagram has been pretty live.
Yeah.
Based upon our postings and stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I've been finding some dope stuff on Instagram. And I love like reposting things that actually just speak towards our community. Whether it's, you know, whether it's hilarious, you know, we all need a good laugh in the morning,
Laugh.
Or, you know, it could be something that might have touched some of the topics that we might have touched, that we might have talked about
exactly.
In the past.
Well, this one right here, I think is really a hell of a topic, man.
Oh, which one? The one with, Tyrese on the Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And he was talking about ghostwriting.
He's talking about ghostwriting. And he was talking about the fact that he's a singer.
Yeah.
Who has other people write for him all the time.
That's right.
What's the difference with ghostwriting?
What's the difference between ghostwriting exactly, especially in the music community? But he also pulled out a dope comparison. He's like, you know, name one actor out there that they've written, you know, and directed the movie.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good comparison.
No, you don't think so?
I don't think so. And here's why. To me, hip hop and rapping kind of stands alone when it comes to that type of thing.
Hold up. He's speaking from a singer too perspective.
I understand, but singing and rapping is different. I know these days it's all kind of blended in one thing, but
what's the difference?
The truth is, singing and rapping is different.
I don't think there is a difference. What's the difference?
To me, when you're rapping, you're literally trying to deliver your experience. You know what I'm saying? Like your experience it's more personal to me. But singers and songwriters have always kind of been semi-separate. That was the understanding from Jump Street, and a lot of singers aren't writers, and a lot of writers aren't singers. That's the way it started, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But hip-hop didn't start with let me write your bars. Hip-hop started with what are your bars, like you give me your bars, let's go back and forth,
history said that, you know, there's been many records that's been written even in the early days where folks wrote for a particular artists in the group, whether it's been a rap group, say about four or five of them, there might be two people that pin the actual parts for the other three that can't write, but they're dope performers or they got a dope voice. So I mean, it's been in the game from the beginning, bro. This is the music industry. This is the music business.
So check this out. This is a shout out to Circuit Brent,
yep.
Who commented, being an MC and being an R&B singer are two totally different things. Some right. people forget that. Inevitably, it led to what we have now. Just my two cents. Now, respect to that. You know right. what I'm saying? Right. And my response to him was, I fully agree. If I'm an athlete in a sport that is clean, but I'm juicing and I win, how can I call myself the best? I might have a gift, but so does my dealer.
Okay.
The person who's supplying my juice also has a win, also has a hand in it. So the truth of the matter is,
okay.
So the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, for me, when it comes to hip hop, it's not hip hop is kind of based off the sense that I have something to say.
Right.
And when you're telling me that you're really saying somebody else's stuff, I don't necessarily knock you as far as being a great artist or entertainer.
Right.
But I can't give you best rapper of all time or no shit. Like, you can't even be in that conversation to me because how are you? The guy who wrote your bars is the best rapper of all time.
But he's not rapping the bars, though, bruh. You see what I'm saying? That's why I say
But a lot of the time, he's not necessarily not rapping the bars because he can't rap. He's not rapping the bars because you just have a bigger platform. So now we're talking about the business of it, which, again, with this whole Nicki and Remy beef they got going on, it's the same type of situation. Everybody's saying, some people are saying Nicki shouldn't respond. She's the better, bigger artist. She makes more money, yada, yada. And some people are like, yeah, that's true. But these seem to be old school, rap beef rules here. So where are your bars at? Period. Like where your bars at?
So, you know, hip hop purist is looking for that, right?
They're
like,
so.
Okay, you're purist, you're hip hop purist. It's like, okay, well, Nicki needed to respond. She's a rapper, you know? And I'm like, to me, I'm on the other side. It's like, you know what? That doesn't even freaking matter at this point. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Remy Ma, I mean, she really needs, all right. First of all, her performance was whack on the record, right?
Wait, whose performance was whack?
Remy Ma, like what she wrote was more enjoyable reading it than actually listening to her rap it. And I was like, ah, damn, I wish I didn't listen to it. And but what she wrote was ridiculous.
It was bars,
It was ridiculous. But being a rapper, being an MC, one element is that you have to be a dope performer and you know how to control the mic. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. It's the same thing with singers, because not only do you have to like read the music and so forth and so on, bro, you know, you have to deliver with emotion too as well.
Which makes you a great artist.
That makes you a great recording artist. Recording artists are singers and rappers. Rappers and singers are recording artists. So that's why I said, to me, it's all the same. Just like an actor. Like, you give an actor a script, he has to nail it. Emotionally, he has to nail it. You know what I'm saying? He has to make it feel believable, yo. Like, when you look at you, especially with Ali. Like, my nigga, Will Smith was Ali to me. You couldn't tell me anything different in watching that.
I got you.
You know,
I got you. And I understand what you're saying, and I can see it from that perspective. That's just not, I think hip hop is different. I see it differently when it comes to that perspective. Like, I wanted Nicki to respond, and I wanted her to respond with bars.
Right.
Like, even off the strength of, yes, we know you make more money. Yes. We get that. Meanwhile, back at the Batcave, at some point, bars would be nice, because
sure. This
is hip hop. And yes, people are like, well, she makes more money and makes more money, but.
And she make hits.
And she makes, sure. Can nobody deny that?
Yep.
But meanwhile, like, once we start substituting the artistry for the business, I think personally, that's when hip hop suffers. That's when you get mumble rap. At the end of the day, it becomes more of a popularity contest. When you eliminate the sense of bars in hip hop, then what do you have? You have great entertainers. Great, no problem. Meanwhile, we have no bars.
Right.
When you don't have bars in hip hop, really, what do you have?
You have dope performers. Saying a bunch of nothing.
Okay, cool. But
which is mumble rap.
Yeah. Ultimately. Ultimately. And where some of the, and what makes mumble rap so dope isn't even the artist. They're interchangeable on any one of those beats. It's the producers that make it hot.
It's the producers, but yet it's also the melody that they're mumbling in.
Possibly.
Their choice of the melody.
Possibly.
You know, I mean that's what, like, that's the only thing you can catch on to.
Yeah.
Is actually the melody that they're rapping or they're mumbling with.
Now, the one thing that I will give this generation of mumble rappers a thumb up for is the fact that they're not necessarily interested in being the greatest of all time or any kind of thing like that. They're just interested in the next one, which, because they have that freedom, they take risks. And I like that. Now, do I like the mumble rap thing as a thing? No, not even the kind of. But I like the energy from which it comes from.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I like the energy from which it comes from.
Yeah, I mean, pushing a limit.
They trying to push a limit.
I got it. I'm all for that, you know, but.
I don't like the whole putting on dresses thing. That shit is for the birds.
Okay.
That shit is for the birds.
Yeah, it is. I totally agree with that. All right, so what's our next topic?
Let's go.
Our Instagram has You know, it's been litty lately. You know, with good conversation.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Which one is the next one?
Ooh. Oh yeah. Yeah. So. So. You know, this is for the geeks out there, right? We're going to geek out for a second.
We're
going to
geek out a little bit.
So, you know, the posting that we posted up on @2Bros Show.
@2Bros Show.
You'll see this posting there. And the question was, what is the most efficient DAW to produce in?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, can I just say something right fast? I know I'm about to like really like piss some people off who was in our comment section.
Right.
But when we post a question like this, please don't say whatever the person is comfortable with, because that obviously, God damn it. Please don't say that. Just know that if you come into the post and it's already there for a minute, somebody's already said that. Like,
yeah,
we're trying to engage in a conversation here, people. Like, come on. Don't give me whatever the person is comfortable with. Yes, whatever the person is comfortable. Thank you for your contribution to the conversation. I really appreciate it. Now go sit in the corner until we're done, until the grown-ups are done. I'm sorry, I had to get that off my chest.
So, I mean, we had some folks, man, that that's definitely gave their input on, and the reason why they actually chose these DAWs, right?
I love
So our choice was A, Pro Tools.
Mm.
Shout out to those geniuses out there that actually producing Pro Tools.
Mm-hmm.
B, Ableton.
Shout out to Ableton. It's been getting a lot of love from a lot of producers that
that's
these
right
days.
With the push and stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
C, Logic Pro, and D, Reason.
Now, mind you, the question was, what is the most efficient DAW to produce in?
That's right.
So we already, okay, so before everybody else starts talking about, well, if you're going to edit and then you're going to mix, you really should only edit and mix some Pro Tools. Yeah, we got that. You're just like the other comment. We're talking about producing it. Let's make some music in this.
And not DAW. Mixing.
Not
and
mixing and
editing.
Editing.
We already know.
We already know.
Producing and mixing and editing. Everybody go to Pro Tools.
Pro Tools.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It is possibly the best and most efficient when it comes to the mix down.
Mix down and the editing for sure. I mean, the things you can do is just amazing. Now,
producing, to me, is the last on this list down here.
Reason.
No. Pro Tools, the producing last on this list.
Okay. Right. I fully agree.
Oh, man, Pro Tools is just so freaking difficult. And then the only guy that actually posted in here, scroll through his name. He said that he had a template that he had to apply in order to produce in it with his machine.
Look, check this out. When you first crack open Pro Tools, right, and you load it and it's working, when you open up a raw session, you don't even get the ins and outs that show automatically. You got to set up a template to show the ins and outs. Okay.
You have to set up a template.
Set up a template for your ins and outs? You serious? Really? That's the whole point.
This is why Pro Tools is forever going to lose the producers.
Yes, because...
But do they really want that market share, though? And that's the question I had to ask myself. Is like, do they really want that market share? Because there are a lot of other DAWs out there that lean towards the producer.
Yeah,
so maybe they just want to be the number one, quote-unquote, mixing software.
Well, but they already are that.
Yeah, true.
So if they already are that, then the real question becomes... Now, what is the purpose of not wanting to go in and actually make your DAW that's already established as the industry standard a little bit more accessible for the producer? Like, for example, why not set up the DAW so that when it comes in, you automatically see your ins and outs? Like, that's a really simple edit.
Yeah.
That can easily just boost the because now if I don't know Pro Tools,
right,
but I'm trying to get into it,
right,
no one's there to tell me that.
Right.
And if I call up Avid and say, hey, I have a question, I gotta pay for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I gotta pay for that.
So now for anyone to actually be able to talk about all of these, we'll probably have to experience all these DAWs.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Now, being that, you know, we're geeks.
We're music heads.
We've gone through all of these. I know definitely I've played around with just about all of these.
The only one I don't have a lot of experience in is Ableton. I've used it a tiny bit.
Yeah,
but even Ableton does some things that I think are amazing.
Yo, I like the interface with I like the look of Ableton. You know, being able to navigate around there. It's not all that hard. You know,
No.
It's not all that hard. I thought it was pretty dope as far as actually just cracking it open and getting to it.
Let's answer the question. Hulk Brogan, for you, what is the most efficient DAW to producing Go? The number one.
The number one most efficient
to producing. That's the question. A, Pro Tools, B, Ableton, C, Logic Pro X, D, Reason.
I'm going to say Logic Pro X.
Booyah!
Absolutely, man. Because, you know, and then number two will be Reasons. Number three will be Ableton. And of course, you know, running dead last. And if I can just put it further down on the list, it will be Pro Tools, man.
Number 8,742.
Exactly.
Pulling in a strong last place. Pro Tools.
That was easy.
Right. You know, for me, the difference is you can crack Logic open and you can get to it.
Honestly,
you
know that's saying? How I learned Logic. Yep. I was sitting in somebody else's session and the engineer didn't show up. And they were like, yo, do you know how to use Logic? I was like, no, but I guess I'm finna learn now.
Absolutely.
And I ran the whole session not having touched Logic Pro X once. Logic Pro at the time, it was 9, at once at all. Right. And I was able to not only run the session, run it actually pretty successfully. And, you know, aside for some, you know, hiccups here or there, I was able to like literally run a whole professional session. I was really happy with it.
Yeah, man, everything's right there in front of your face. It's all left brain thinking, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And you could just really get through it. I mean, when it comes down to the inputs, outputs, so forth and so on.
Everything is right there.
Everything is right there. In fact, it is just so daggone easy to get to it. We chose to record our podcast in Logic Pro X.
Hey.
Absolutely, absolutely. So
we really need that Apple sponsorship. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, man. We plugged them. What's good, one time. Apple? We'll see. We're going to work on that, man. But definitely shout out to all those geeks out there. Somebody was upset that we didn't include Fruity Loops. But I did.
FL Studio. Which again gets a lot of love.
Yeah, Fruity Loops. FL Studio. That's Fruity Loops.
I never knew that.
FL Studio is Fruity Loops.
I just thought it was FL Studio, my dude.
Yeah, Fruity Loops Studio. So, you know, somebody was kind of upset. Like, how come you didn't include Fruity Loops? Respect. We only had 4 slots. You know what I'm saying? At this point. And, reasons beat out, you know, Fruity Loops. But that's for another discussion.
It is for
you know, on another day because Fruity Loops is something of its own, right? And we can just squeeze that into another conversation.
Yeah.
But
And shout out to Reason too, because we know when I came back from Berkeley and I was home and I was looking for another situation to produce in, you know, Hulk Brogan is the one who put me on the Reason, and yo, we made some fire material in Reason.
Absolutely, man. That is my go-to because I feel comfortable, you know, using Reason. But the accolades brought up something that was was pretty interesting. He said that you know, Cubase and the Windows are some of those platforms that actually fully support VSTs, meaning that you don't experience too many crashes in that actual DAW because it naturally supports the VSTs.
Yeah.
Now, I've actually used the Windows and also Cubase, and the Windows is a very, 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 very powerful platform. And he's right. I never experienced any crashes when using the VSTs. But when I started using like VSTs and like any other platform, you know, you would experience those crashes, you know, and sometimes in using those VSTs, and it could be taxing too, for real.
Yeah. You gotta understand taxing. How to set it up too. You know, one thing that I had to learn is okay, I bought Native Instruments at that point it was Complete Ultimate 8.
And then you had the Waves package too.
Yeah, I did have the Waves Mercury package.
Yeah.
But So with the complete series, I loaded it all on my main drive. Mistake. I should have definitely done the upload as far as syncing it to the main drive, but then the actual file should have went on a hard drive.
Right, right.
So I experienced performance issues because I was just running out of processing power. But ultimately, I don't have too many issues with Logic Pro X either when it comes to that.
Oh, since you put all your VSTs and your plugins actual hard drive.
Yeah, I just had to. Yeah, I just had
not,
to read.
Not your startup drive.
Exactly.
So you have an additional hard drive that you have just for your VSTs.
I have several.
And your plugins.
Yeah.
So guys, just understand that, you know, you have a startup drive. And you might want to.
You got to load everything on your starter drive so that things actually start up.
Right. So then, you know, in this case, Tabari, you have two hard drives. One is your startup drive.
Yeah.
And the other one, you put all your VSTs.
Yeah, the startup drive is that has like the that. One that has the operating system, the one that you can go through and see all your apps.
And then you haven't experienced too many crashes, right?
Once I understood that methodology, because if you default everything, it puts everything on your one drive.
For sure.
And when you're going through the upload screen, it'll tell you, it'll say, hey, where do you want to actually register this project? Or I want to register this product here. Great. Where do you want to store the files? That should go on an external drive, period. It just should. Period.
Right. All right. Right. Yep. Now, for reasons, I've never experienced any crashes. The last time I experienced a crash was like 2.5, and that was a cracked version.
All right.
And now, up to this point, it's definitely been solid.
But the difference is Reason, for a lot of it, is self-contained. I mean, Reason has a lot of amazing sounds, but I think almost all of the sounds are
self-contained and they don't do
in Reason and for Reason.
Yeah,
you feel me?
In Reason for Reason. And this is why I love Propeller Head for that, because they try to make sure that they keep a platform that, that when they have third party people involved, like, you know, your rack essentials and stuff like that. They actually make the third party VST plugin or whatever it is for that particular platform, not just a platform that could possibly adapt to your DAW and then it just probably just don't even work. Yeah. So number one definitely is Logic Pro.
Yeah.
We all agree that, you know, it is definitely the most
it's the most efficient. It's efficient. I mean, I cracked it open and just used it. It was barely a learning curve.
Yep. So what is the next topic we had on Instagram that sparked conversation?
Okay. All right. So this one is another Breakfast Club
clip. Yeah, so this one was very interesting. Like the whole The whole episode with Nori, that was dope within itself. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Noriega and Drink Champs and
shout
stuff like that.
Yeah,
we definitely follow Drink Champs. But he was at the end of the show, he really just started getting into it because they was talking about him releasing his music as an artist, and him and Envy had a little discussion, you know, just basically coloring what is going on in the industry, right? And so Nori mentioned that, you know, of course, back in, you know, his time when he was breaking as an artist, you had DJs that actually, you know, not only just pick up the record, but they would support the record and ride the record out.
No matter what,
to break the record. If the DJ picked the record up, they believed in it and they're going to ride it out until it breaks. Nowadays, you know, you have a DJ that'll pick up the record and then they'll spin it, check the BDS charts, see if they're the only one spinning it. If they're the only one spinning it, then they'll drop the record. Even if it's a great freaking record, the record still gets dropped, you know. And then also, he mentioned that, you know, the lack of slots on terrestrial radio. To me, this is why I always say that terrestrial radio will never prosper until they get, you know, all these corporate interests out of their pockets.
Yeah.
Or vice versa, because they're in bed with each other. For the most part.
Yeah.
But unless they switch that up, then, you know, that radio, and, you know, terrestrial radio is not going to prosper. And for real, us as an independent artist should consider that as it being its last option. But anyway, they were saying that there's about 8 slots nationwide that are on these radio stations.
Yeah. And you know, and not only
and this is, we were talking about power rotation.
Exactly. And not only that there are 8 slots, but that you have program directors in every market that really regulate those slots. Like, you're not just going to get into that slot just because your record is the greatest record man has ever heard.
Absolutely.
That's just not how it works. And
so just like you have, like, you know what I'm saying, your starting five, mm-hmm. you know, on a basketball team or whatever, the starting five has pretty much been consistent all across the board nationwide. And then you probably have, like, you know, your couple records that might have somewhat quote unquote regional success.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That might have, you know, saying take some precedence over, you know, other records that are not booming in the industry. But, you know, really, where does that lead us as an artist?
Well,
and as an independent artist,
not even just as an artist, but you know, Amir Simon Sr., shout out to I'm saying Amir, my apologies, Ahmed Simon Senior. I'm assuming that SR at the end is Senior.
Yeah. Shout out to him because he definitely plugged us in.
Yeah, for sure.
With somebody heavy.
For sure. And you know, he commented. He said, "Only time I ever listen to terrestrial radio is while on business travel in rental cars because I don't pay for satellite radio. Do people still rock with regular radio? I'm really curious.
I mean, yo, that is a valid freaking question because I ask myself this quite often. You know, once again, this is a topic of discussion. It's something that was posted up on our Instagram. You can follow our Instagram at Two Bros Show.
And these are
we recapping some of the discussions that we're having in these postings. But this one is definitely something that we talk about all the time in studio. We call this and we phrase it as studio talk. This is a very, very valid question, man, because, you know, I've asked this many times before, man, because radio seems to be so freaking trash, even at the height of what radio supposed to be the most, I guess, effective or the grabbers be in the morning. And a lot of these morning shows, you know, especially local, yo, it'd be a turnoff. It just ain't even appealing
anymore. It's because it's out of touch. I mean, terrestrial radio is just out of touch with what's happening for real. I mean, who was it? It was Charlamagne Tha God on his podcast, The Brilliant Idiots. And he was saying that a lot of times he's putting on some of the folks that are coming up, like 2 Chainz when he was first coming out and dropping his records,
right?
But he was trying to put them on with the events that were happening for the radio station, and they were like, wait, you want to bring 2 Chainz to headline? I mean, that was you know, pre him being huge. And he was like, yeah. He was like, why him? He's like, are you paying attention to the web?
Obviously,
because on the web he's killing. Like, you really need to. And then they're like, oh, I guess. And he said the program director finally listened to him, and he headlined that event and blew up right after that.
Man, I mean,
and it was a huge deal. But if you're not paying attention to what's going on the web, you're missing it. And honestly, yeah, it's like you're missing it because you're not paying attention. You're paying attention to your own bubble.
Yeah, I mean, you and you're focusing on the bag, right? And that's fine though. But yet, you still have to be in touch with what's going on. And if you're not able to be in touch with what's going on and grab the post, or you don't have the time, or you don't even care, trust those that you hire to stay in touch with what's going on in the streets. Have respect for them. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the thing. And the radio lacks that respect.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
it lacks the respect for the web. It lacks the respect for podcasts and other forms of media that aren't, you know, 100 years old and still kicking. I mean, I don't mean to sound, I mean, I'm trying to show them a little respect because they've been around. Radio, terrestrial radio has been around.
Yeah.
From what, the 20s before that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been around that long. I would say probably about the 20s or so. But Cliffs and Caves, when this post went up, when normally we post in the morning, so expect our posts in the morning, probably mm-hmm. like anywhere between 9 and 11.
9 a.m. 12,
Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Standard, yeah. Yep.
And she said that, or they said that they've been thinking about this post all morning. It's a bummer, but I think consolidation of power just breeds uniformity and conformity on all fronts.
In all industries.
In all industries.
And that was a very profound point. And kind of what she says, right. What they're saying there is kind of important, because they're a small group trying to just be on the come up, making great music. And, yeah. And that's really what they're just trying to do.
Right.
But in this current scenario, they have absolutely no way of getting any of their records played on terrestrial radio as it stands right now, because terrestrial radio isn't built to give people an opportunity in.
Right, right. I mean, you might have like you might have some small radio stations that will possibly give you a break. You know what I'm saying? You got your college radio stations, you know, that like to break new music.
Right.
But of course, you know, they're the gap of listeners, you know, compared to, you know, your mega stations, like anything on, you know, your Clear Channels, your Radio Ones, you know what I'm saying? So forth and so on. It's
pretty much Clear Channel, Radio One.
Clear Channel, Radio One. Exactly.
It's pretty much it.
Yeah, they are. They're controlling, you know what I'm saying, majority of the share of listeners that actually listen to terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. You know, but the margin between that, you know what I'm saying, is wide as fudge. And in fact, there's radio stations that I believe from frequency 91 on down, majority of those are public radio stations.
Yes. And
right. And, which, you know, their frequency or not frequency, their wattage, and which, you know, translate over to the reach of the people, mm-hmm. are very, very small, mm-hmm. you know, compared to, once again, you know, your Radio Ones and your Clear Channels.
Now, see here, and here's the different part of here's my response to the Clisson Caves comment, because I think it's important to bring it up. I said,
right,
it shouldn't bum you out too much, although I completely understand your feelings here, because with the internet, we have our own paths to showcase, promote, and expose our creations to the world. It may take some learning or relearning, but it's very possible to be divorced from this industry and still gain from this industry as well. Biggest example of this, # Chance the Rapper.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And once again, that's why I always bring up, is like, yo, like, terrestrial radio should be your last stop. If you get invited onto a show, if they spin your music, if you have a DJ that supports you, whatever, yeah. I'm not saying don't support them. Absolutely, shout them out because they're supporting you or whatever. But in your whole overall scheme, you know, of getting your music exposed, yo, like, terrestrial radio should be your last option. You have so many platforms where your music can grow, or your fan base can grow exponentially.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. It's not like terrestrial radio will be your last stop, or should be your last stop, like you're saying, even though I think you're right.
Right.
I'm saying that terrestrial radio has made it so that no matter what, it will be your last stop, because there is no option before that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same thing with the record labels. They've given away so much of their power. Okay, well, if I need to have my record done and I need to be making numbers on my record before you even come into the picture, what exactly do I need you for? Because at that point, I'm doing everything myself. You're kind of giving away so much of your power, you have nothing left.
Right.
You just become a grand booking agency. I mean, on a grand scale. I mean, that's literally what you've devolved yourself into.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Terrestrial radio is doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
Because Charlamagne said it on this. He said, for the Breakfast Club interviews, they do the Breakfast Club interviews after the show.
Right.
They don't do them during the show.
Right.
Obviously, because some of these interviews be like an hour, hour and a half. Some be like 15 minutes. Some be like an hour. Yep. Whatever. But here's the thing. Isn't that podcasting?
That's what we call it.
That's what we call it.
I don't know what they call it.
But that's podcasting, people. Yeah. So ultimately, even terrestrial radio and those bigger areas are having to bow down to what they consider might be beneath them. Because at the end of the day,
they might call it rebroadcasting.
Maybe so. But guess what? It's called podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely. In this day and age, it's called podcasting. So, I mean, I don't know, man. Do I have hope for terrestrial radio to kind of like get with it? No, I don't.
No.
It looks very dark. And in fact, I think they're going to lose a long battle of longevity. And you know what? Some dinosaurs died, so why not radio stations? Die with the dinosaurs.
Yeah, I think if radio stations can reformat and really kind of rethink how, because the beautiful thing is their monetization methodologies don't have to change. Because they monetize off of events, off of commercials. No, that those type of things don't have to change. But if they can reconsider what they would promote on their stations and what they would play outside of just music and everything else, yeah, man, terrestrial radio could win again. But is it gonna happen?
You know what? They're already trying to buck the system on how royalties is being paid and how much so. Radio is just like, yo, they just lawless right now. You know what I'm saying? They're being very, very inconsiderate of a lot of things and you know, concerns for us artists. And, you know, I get it. They're protecting their interests. So yeah. Let's move on to the next topic because I don't want to run that into the ground.
All right. Cool.
Yep.
I guess this will be the last one. But yeah,
definitely.
So this particular one is Philly's own DJ Jazzy Jeff.
What up, Jeff?
And he's talking about kind of what we've been talking about on this podcast the whole time. He's talking about what the industry decides is not always what's best for the industry.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I believe that this is part of a documentary that he's putting together.
Okay.
Or something like that. I think this is all part of a documentary he's putting together. Probably, you know, just somewhat of being a whistleblower on the industry and the whole process on, you know, from creation all the way to monetization.
Right. And in this particular clip, he's saying he wants to do a project in a week and he wants it to be the most amazing thing anyone's ever heard. He said, you know, the industry will tell you you need 9 months, you need, you know, a year plus in order to get a good product and so forth and so on. But he's telling you that those people who are telling you that aren't the ones sitting there making the music. They're not the ones that sit there and decide, you know, that, oh, we're going to use this snare instead of that snare. We're going to use this sample instead of that sample. They're just the business people.
Right.
So why should they be the ones making the calls on how things get done and when things get done? They should really just sit back and wait till we're done doing what it is we're doing and let us have that freedom to do what it is we're doing. And quite frankly, I agree. I mean, I wish there was more to say.
Man, look, man.
I agree.
Well, once again, you know, it's all about trust. You know what I'm saying? If you're interested in what I'm doing and you totally respect my art, then how about this? If you're going to back me, trust me in my decisions that I make. You know, don't try to push so much of the business aspect onto me, because you know what? That's what you're there for. You know, that's what this whole relationship is. If I'm an artist and I need somebody to, you know, take over my business endeavors or my business interests and protect that, then that's cool. But it is definitely my responsibility as an artist, because I am hiring you. But you know what? When it comes to my art, and perfecting my art, maybe 10% of consideration towards business would go into my art. But you know what? The 90%, yo, this is all about my art. That 10%, I might just keep it in consideration. Yeah. You know, into making this product and it reaching to, you know, the audience that I'm trying to, you know, get it to. But other than that, I don't think there should be any type of discussion on how I handle my art.
I always say that the industry works in like a vicious cycle. The labels say, this is what we want. This is what's hot. And the way they say that is by putting out artists and material that reflect that. Cool. Then the artists turn around and say, okay, that's what's hot. That's what's popping. I'm going to do that. So now you have a bunch of artists that don't normally do that, start chasing that dream in that direction. Okay. Then the industry says, we're going to do market research. And then they hear, okay, what we put out already is exactly what people want. So we're going to keep churning it out. That cycle starts back all over again. So essentially, you end up until there's somebody that breaks out of that mold. But the problem with that breaking out of that mold is it just creates another mold, and the industry just
another mold. So the industry is all about mass producing widgets,
feedback loops. That's
feedback loops, mass producing widgets, because we're all trying to achieve the same sale of the same daggone product, but maybe the product is dressed up in pink. You know what? We're going to bring it pink. You know, whether that could be, you know, an artist with a different voice, but same damn music, same damn style.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know. So,
but meanwhile, gems are being left. Look, Lady Gaga was about to be dropped from her label.
Imagine that.
Lady Gaga, one of the biggest artists in this generation, freaking was about to be dropped. It was Akon who came behind, was like, yo, why is... He said he was literally searching through the label's drop list. Like, this is a list of artists that we have that we're going to drop. And he was like, you guys are high. Okay, just give me some time with her.
Yep.
And then we had Lady Gaga. Holy crap. Seriously?
Shout out to Akon, man.
Shout out to Akon. I mean, he's a visionary. All I'm saying is, those are the people who are making the decisions. Those are the people who... A lawyer who happens to have a degree in entertainment law, who's working for a label as an A&R, gets to decide whether you're a dope producer or not. Gets to decide whether you're a dope artist or not. Seriously?
Man, look, man. Just read over these damn contracts, bro. Make sure that the money keep flowing in here.
Yeah. You should. That's you, all. You got to go to the Instagram page, at Two Bros Show.
That's right.
To hear Jazzy speak about it. He's passionate. He's speaking mad passionately.
I agree. I'm equally as passionate.
Yeah, because he sees what we see. He's like, you've never sang one note, never rap one note, never produced one note.
That's right.
How are you going to tell me this hot or this is not hot? You serious?
Yo, I don't know, man. You know, I respect people's opinion, but you know what? Just because I respect your opinion doesn't necessarily mean that your opinion matters.
Look, my brother said this to me. My brother's a full-time minister. Shout out to Tori out there in New Orleans, and shout out to Bishop Lester Love and City of Love and the whole and Sister Fran and everybody out there. They get much love from the Two Bros in the Studio Show. But this is what he said. He said, Tabari, if you have somebody who's speaking on a topic to which they don't know, or if they don't have any understanding or education, their opinions don't matter.
Not at all.
Their opinions don't matter because they don't know what they're talking about. Because
they don't know what they're talking
fundamentally
about.
Fundamentally, this is how this industry is set up. It's set up for a bunch of people who don't know what they're talking about to decide that this is hot and this is not. This gets a chance, that doesn't get a chance. All I'm saying is,
you know, Dame Dash been talking about that for a long while.
And then with the industry the way it is, this is another reason why labels are giving their power away. Because at the end of the day, if I have this person telling me my stuff is hot, but I'm sorry, is this stuff is not hot, but I have a group of people behind me that says it is, now the industry says, oh, I'm sorry, it is hot. But they didn't say it because they knew it was hot. They said it because a bunch of other people said it was hot. So really, what do we have? We just have a bunch of people who are followers deciding who the leaders are going to be.
Well, they're checking numbers, dog. That's the only thing they're doing. Everybody's looking at numbers. They're behind their desk. They look at numbers. They don't show up at these open mic night spots. They don't actually go out looking for the artists and looking for those that make the impact,
tells me that they are not the ones that should be making the decision, because you are is a glorified bean counter. I respect you. You have a place in this industry. It's just not where you're sitting. It shouldn't be where you're sitting. That's all I'm saying.
Nah, I totally agree. But we all know that the number one rule is the man who holds the gold rules, the golden rule.
Yeah. I understand it.
Yeah.
I understand it.
Hell no. It's not right at all.
The problem is they're giving away their power when they do that. And with the record labels, and I've said this before, when the record labels give away so much of their power. Okay. When you tell a person who's hot that they're not, and then you give them a platform to prove that they are, like the internet, eventually you're going to lose your reputation. People are going to go, yeah, you don't really know what you're talking about, because you said Lady Gaga should get dropped. That just means you didn't have any vision for what Lady Gaga could be.
Sure.
Period. So Why are you in your seat? You should probably get up. Let the big boy sit down.
Hey, man, if you subscribe to Billboard, man, you look in the back, bro. There's a lot of daggone chairs being swapped daily, bro. Every time I grab an issue, I look in the back. I go straight to the back and see, you know, who's swapping chairs, man. But, I mean, it happens all the time. A&Rs get fired so many damn times, bro. But
the reason A&Rs get fired is because those cats don't really know what they look. For example, Jazzy Jeff has been a staple in this industry since the early 90s.
Right.
How come he isn't running the as president of a label?
I mean, that's pretty much up to Jazz. I'm pretty sure that somebody probably, well, you know what? He did have a label.
I mean, his label, but that's what I'm saying. Like, his label.
Right.
I'm not talking about his label. How come Sony doesn't have him has his own?
Cause, like, he should be like the head of,
hell yeah,
quote unquote, urban music.
Why not?
Yeah, well,
wouldn't that make sense?
He ain't selling enough plaques. I don't know.
I mean,
of course, they keep all those numbers in factor, dog. We talk about the numbers, you know what I'm saying?
Again.
They could be an engineer, you know what I'm saying, that's been, you know, behind the scenes, that might have sold, you know, three, might have, you know, been on, you know, produced for an album that probably went 3 times platinum. You know what? He'll be in consideration for the job before, I don't know, somebody with a damn degree.
I got you.
I mean, I don't.
I got you.
See, I really don't know all the answers. I can only speculate why they make these decisions.
This is all speculation.
And, you know, and then, you know, the food and the drinks and the smokers, you know, the cigars probably going good with the good conversation and the opportunity happened. You know what I'm saying? And then who knows? You
get
the prosper or you get dropped.
I get it. I understand it from as a business person, I get it. I understand that fundamentally you got to do what you got to do. All I'm saying is, meanwhile, back at the Batcave, some cats can put out consistently great music.
Yeah.
Some cats have a hit on their hands and it's the only one that they'll ever have.
Yep.
Some cats will work really hard but never really measure up to that level.
Right.
And honestly, if I'm at a label, I need to have some people who understand how to take that person who will work hard and might not get there, put them with the right people to help them get there. I need to understand that difference. I shouldn't be dropping a Lady Gaga. I shouldn't just go, well, she hasn't done anything, drop her. Because that's short-sighted. Clearly.
That guy who made that decision
should be fired. He probably got his seat swapped quick. All I'm saying is, why'd you have the seat in the first place? There it is. Let's take the show out, man.
Yeah, you know, normally on these episodes, man, we do a bunch of like ranting, and I know that you guys are probably listening to us, but like, yeah, or that's what I thought, or you could be more or less like, you know what, professor, you might be wrong.
Yeah,
you know what,
I might be
broken. You could be wrong on that topic. You know what?
I don't think I am.
If wrong, then drop it in the comment section.
Leave it in the comment section. I'm more than willing to have conversations. And the only way you could
do that is if you're following us at SoundCloud, Two Bro Show.
At Two Bro Show.
YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Go into that search engine.
Mm-hmm.
Type in the Two Bros in the Studio Show.
Yep.
You're going to see two handsome faces.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be a subscribe button somewhere along there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see that subscribe button, you smash that and leave your comments in the comment section.
Whether please
we're
do.
Right, we're wrong, or maybe, you know, you probably agree with us and maybe have a different idea that you want to talk about.
Maybe you have a friend who's an A&R at a label. Send it to them and get their opinions. Send it back to us. Let's talk smack. Let's have a healthy dialogue.
Yeah.
Either way,
yeah.
Let's get the conversation going.
Tell a foe, tell a friend, yeah. But yeah, lastly, just follow us on Instagram and Twitter, because a lot of this stuff that we were talking about today has been posted up on Instagram.
Yeah.
And these comments are directly from off our Instagram page.
Yeah, when we say keep the conversation going, these are the conversations that are being had. You're missing out.
Absolutely. So follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Bros Show.
At Two Bros Show.
That's right. And more importantly, creatives, keep creating.